Facilities and Infrastructure Chair, Committee, Dooley Kiefer Chair.
Yes, we met on June 4th. And the two most interesting items, I think, were a discussion about the determination and findings statement having to do with the eminent domain hearing on Hanshaw Road. I asked to have all legislators receive copies of the mailing that went out the end of last week to a handful of Hanshaw Road residents, something under 20 property owners, who were not included in the first notification of the eminent domain hearing. And I want to take a little time to tell you about that. But I also want to mention the other big item that was at our committee meeting that I found novel for us to consider, and that was a presentation by the city's Public Arts Commission, mural and street art program. In identifying sites within the city that might be good candidates for public art, they identified two county buildings, and Sally Grubb, who chairs that committee, made a presentation to the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee about what might go on those buildings, what the program is, and then talk about what might go on the buildings. And the two buildings identified that the county owns are the old library, the curved side of the old library building, which periodically gets decorated anyway, and the wall on the side of the building, Building C, where the Board of Elections is housed, the east side of that building. So it was an interesting discussion. We took it under advisement, and we will discuss it for possible action at our next meeting, the next meeting being Friday, July 2nd. So I'd like to go back to Hanshaw Road for a moment. Martha announced at the start of our meeting that there will be a special legislature meeting on June 30th at 5:30 p.m., and that's to replace what ordinarily would have come from the F&I committee to this agenda, which is a vote by the legislature on the finding statement from the eminent domain hearing. Subsequent to it moving out of F&I by a 3-2 vote, there was some more discussion at the administrative level, the leadership level, about how to handle what we came to understand to be a lack of clarity about which property owners own how much property in some of the sites on Hanshaw Road. Hanshaw Road is a mile and a third long center line miles that really needs to be restored. It's in bad shape. We have a project that will have driving lanes the same size they are now, 11 feet, and paved shoulders, which at the moment are not paved. They're gravel, and they vary between 1 and 4 or more feet wide. These will be replaced by paved shoulders 4 feet wide. Those are the minimum sizes that the state will accept based on federal standards. So we have a replacement road. But what's new about it is that it will include a sidewalk on the north side. And the north side of the road is the side that the town of Ithaca has requested this sidewalk to be on. The town of Ithaca, in fact, was the entity that requested there be a sidewalk. And there were many meetings 4 years ago, about these, this sidewalk. They were held at the town level, and eventually we had some public meetings where we covered that same subject. The last public information meeting we had on this subject, though, was in 2007, and the project has been sitting, waiting for state comments, waiting for funding to be in place, waiting for a lot of things. And in the period between 2007 and now, probably a half a dozen houses have changed hands, so that of the around 100 property owners involved in this project, some of them didn't even know about it when they bought their homes. So there are a couple of them who are among the more aggrieved parties because they didn't know about it when they bought the property. And I'm sorry about that, but the project predates their ownership of the land, and the county, working with the previous owners, had made accommodations with respect to landscaping and so forth. Naturally, since they're new homeowners, we'll have those discussions with the new homeowners too. But what was discovered when the eminent domain consultants went out to talk with individual property owners and show them the maps was that although they were told to apply the Coddington Road decision, and they did, the properties on Hanshaw are not like the properties on Coddington Road in terms of what the deeds say. The deeds on Coddington, well, and then that's why I asked that the mailing go out to each of you, so that you would have the clearest possible wording of what I'm going to try to describe now. The deeds on Coddington Road showed county having right-of-way up to 25 feet from the center line, but that is not good enough for the court decision that came down, which said that the county has to be the entity that can show ownership. And since our use of that space as a county road, that area, predates any written records, we could not, from our end, show that ownership. So the decision was that we would only have control of what we already use by use, which is less than 25 feet from the center line in various instances. And Jonathan, if I say something wrong, I hope you'll correct me. What's different about Hanshaw Road is that many, possibly most of the properties there do not show deeds where the property owner owns not just to the center line or to the edge of the road, but their property stops somewhere short of 25 feet from the center line, which means between 25 feet from the center line and their property, there's a kind of no man's land, and it's unclear who owns that. And what the county decided to do was, even though that no man's land ownership is unclear, we will act as though it belonged to the property owners whose deeds show they don't really own it, and we will pay them for the use of that land as though they owned it. And it's not much land, and it's not going to be very expensive, and it just seems so much simpler and neater to do that and not have any fights about boundaries. So in making that decision, it meant that there were somewhere under 20 more property owners that needed to be notified. And although eminent domain law would not consider this an error, would not require us to do this, we also decided that it would be the right thing to do to reopen the record of the eminent domain hearing just for those additional property owners. And they're being asked to submit written comments to the legislature offices by 4:30 on June 24th. And that will give staff time to analyze their comments and develop responses to them, and for us to include all of that in the record of the eminent domain hearing before we, as a legislature, act on the finding statement. I don't think that any of those comments would affect what the eminent domain hearing was about, which is the project, does it serve a public purpose? But we wanted to allow this opening for those additional people. Is that accurate, Jonathan?
Yes. I mean, it was our impression from discussions that a lot of people didn't really understand. A lot of people were coming and talking about errors and new maps and things, and a lot of people didn't really understand what was happening and why they were doing new maps. And John Lampman and I wrote that little explanation, which went out to the owners, and you all, I guess, got copies of. And it's somewhat difficult to explain, and John tried to put a diagram in there But I think the long and short of it is that some of Connington Road is just like Hanshaw, and some deeds on Hanshaw are somewhat different, leaving a question as to ownership of some of the land, and it was not originally included by consultants, and we just thought it was a better idea just to put it, just to pay the property owners for that, because there is some ambiguity as to who owns some of the land, given what the deeds of these, of some of the property owners say.
Thank you. So if I could have a little more time. The average daily traffic on Hanshaw Road is something over 6,000 vehicles a day. And it's a busy road. It's classified as an urban collector for part of its length and a minor arterial for the rest of its length. And residents are concerned about speeding, and I think that's a legitimate concern because people already go faster than the posted limit. And it's not patrolled very much. It's in the town of Ithaca. The town of Ithaca has to ask the sheriff to particularly pay attention to that section of road from time to time, and just as many roads in the county need particular attention. So an interesting thing about highway design law, it requires when you're redesigning or fixing up a road, you are supposed to consider what the actual traffic is traveling at, a rate of speed. And if it's above the posted limit, then you need, for safety's sake, you need to design any improvements to accommodate that illegal faster speed. It doesn't mean that the road will be posted for a higher amount, but you have to think about that when you redesign a road. So that's not necessarily what we would have chosen to do, but that's what that is what is required, and that's certainly what our consultants, Fisher Associates, were aware of when they took on this task. So in response to residents' concerns about speed, one of the things that we're going to do, I believe, when we go out to bid on this project, is to have traffic calming measures such as colored shoulders be bid as one of the alternates to be included in the project, and to have the traffic light at Hanshaw and Warren Road also be bid as an alternate to give us a choice of which we might think is more important. So when we talk about there may be some changes to the design, that's one of the kinds of things that might happen. At the moment, the traffic light is part of the design. The colored shoulders, which are truly a traffic calming measure because they change a driver's perception of the width of the travel lane, that, although recommended in the project, is not necessarily included unless we can afford it. So those are the kinds of adjustments to the project that we're looking at. And there is a schedule of next steps, which I think you also received a copy of, but for public purposes I want to mention now that we expect Fisher Associates to have all the new and revised right-of-way maps completed by toward the end of August, and we'll have an additional public information meeting in mid-September. We want to have it when we're sure everybody's back from summer vacation. And we want to do it because it's been 3 years since there has been a public information meeting. And thereafter, the right-of-way appraisal process will continue and be completed so that purchase offers, we think, can be extended by early December. And the project will continue by stages after that. And thank you for letting me take all this time.
Thank you, Julie. I think all of us appreciate the clear explanation, and Jonathan also. It's obviously something that's very important right now. I wanted to make a small comments. I think the comments from the newly included people in the eminent domain hearing are supposed to go to John Lampman, not to the legislature. That's in the letter.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Right, and the letter and the whole package that was mailed to those directly involved property owners was also copied to all the rest of the residents along the road.
Right.
So all of them got all that information as well. If I could just ask a little bit more time on this, to add, if you or Jonathan might talk about the Jonathan, at a previous meeting you talked about the new law about eminent domain and how there's a sort of very strict sounding language that we need to notify people with. And I understand now that using consultants as opposed to our in-house staff to do the right-of-way negotiations is also part of the new law. So if one of you might mention, explain that.
I think what I said and what the law says is that the law was recently changed. By recently, I don't mean in the past 3 days, but in the past several years since we did our last major road project, really, that requires that you not only post notice in the newspaper, which has always been required, but that you individually serve all members or all property owners who would be affected by it, either personally or by certified mail. That's a new procedure. In this case, our highway department actually prepared those notices and sent them out. It also says in the eminent domain procedures law that an inadvertent failure to notify someone personally doesn't negate the hearing or the findings of the legislature, but it is an attempt to make sure that individuals actually receive notice, personal notice and not just the notice that's put in the paper. That's what the new law says. It also includes that your notice must have this warning, and it gives you the words, and that warning basically says that if you don't show up to the hearing, then you lose your right to challenge on anything you could have raised in the hearing. And it is sort of aggressive language, and it sounds kind of threatening, but the law says that you have to put these words in the notice. So like I said, I think last time when people got this notice, it does sound kind of threatening from the county, but it's the law. You have to serve them personally, and it has to have this language in it. I think the terminology could certainly have been better, but we just follow the law exactly as you have to do it. With regard to contacting individuals to negotiate or to speak about the taking on their property, we have traditionally, it's either it's done by private consultants or by the state. Those are the two entities. We don't really have the staff to do that. We have actually in the past done sometimes the legal work for it, but it's a huge amount because, like, we did, for example, Tripphammer Road. We did over 100 deeds on that. And because much of the money is paid by the state and federal government, it's probably not the best use of our time. But, you know, as a practical matter, one really does need professional consultants who do this, you know, for every county and every municipality for efficiency. And most places don't really have the staff to be contacting every single. Because as you realize, like on this road, for example, there are approximately 100 property owners affected. On other roads, there are even more. And obviously, to go out and meet with 100 property owners and to do maps for 100 property owners and to do appraisals, which you always have it need an independent appraiser anyway. You can't do that yourself by law. It's obviously a significant amount of work that, you know, I don't think any county really does it by itself. You really do need consultants, which involves quite a bit of work because it's 100 different property owners in this case, and on some other projects it's even more.
Okay, thank you very much, Jonathan. Any questions? Leslie?
I don't have it's not so much a question. Well, it is. I sit on F&I, and the certainty is taking on a stranger direction than I've experienced with anything else, but it is concerning, and I am concerned about some of the comments and stuff coming from the residents. So here's my question. Dooley, you mentioned the traffic calming colored shoulders, and I wonder if it is too late in the process, well, nothing's too late, we haven't broken ground, to consider other traffic calming measures. I don't know. I mean, if people are speeding, I'm not sure that I agree that, you know, putting colored shoulders will make them slow down. They're already speeding in smaller lanes. I'm not sure that would make them slow down anymore. So I wonder if there could be consideration of alternative traffic calming things to put in place with that plan. Or is this it because the design is done?
Well, in developing design alternatives, and there were several, traffic calming was always one of the considerations.
Right.
And I'm not sure that anyone has come up with any suggestions for traffic calming that weren't already part of that earlier discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And not included for various legitimate reasons. I can't remember if you were on F&I
yeah,
5 years ago.
Yeah, it's hard to remember.
But,
I wasn't.
But I was, and I remember this going on because it's also the more or less my part of town, too. If you have anything in mind, please tell me.
Well, I mean, I haven't had a chance to just talk to some of the residents, some of the things that people are considering that or mentioned, and I kind of agree. Is there a way to consider things like, I don't know if they're not bumps, but speed humps, things that sort of slow things down a little bit. This is a neighborhood. You know, I think I said in F&I, I live on Clinton Street. I don't know, nobody slows down there. That's a highway.
Well, there are no speed tables on that street because of its designated use. And that's the trouble with, not trouble, that's a fact about Hanshaw. Speed tables or the things you see in mm-hmm. the South Side neighborhood or the North Side neighborhood in certain places, those are appropriate for residential streets, but not for arterials or urban or major collectors. So some of the things are ruled out, unfortunately.
All right. I really am going to need a little bit more explanation because I don't understand the whole street difference here. It's a neighborhood, I guess. There aren't lots of businesses, especially in a certain part of this. It's all people's housing. So there are no schools there. It's just people live there. And I don't understand why that's designated, or can we have the street designation changed or something. But it's just a bunch of questions that, you know, neighbors are asking, I'm asking, and I hope that when we have the hearing, it'll be more of a discussion rather than us telling people what we're going to do, but also being able to accommodate some of the things they have to say.
Well, one reason for having an informational meeting instead of a hearing is that it's more informal to have a meeting, and there can be dialogue.
Thank you.
At least I certainly hope there will be.
Thank you.
And I'm not the only one who hears from people. Peter Stein hears in spades. And there was, well, Mr. Britton spoke under privilege of the floor tonight. He suggested we look at Varna or at Pleasant Grove Road as being similar to Hanshaw. Well, the Varna community, which certainly views itself as a community, has, in a, as you drive through its downtown, it actually has some commercial things, unlike Hanshaw Road, as you mm-hmm. just pointed out. Pleasant Grove Road does not have residences on either side. So neither of those are really a posit for Hanshaw. And I acknowledge that Hanshaw, for part of this project, has residences on both sides. For part of it, it has open land.
I understand.
Yeah. It's been a very difficult topic, mm-hmm. and I think speed is a legitimate concern, and we're going to do our best. And if you have any ideas that anyone gives you, let us know.
I'll pass them on.
Yeah.
All right. I'll call on Peter in a second, but I would just comment that the residents of Varna would love to have sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Peter.
Well, let me just make a few comments about this. There seems to be no question that automobiles go at speeds faster than the speed limit on Hanshaw Road. I've not heard anyone deny that. There is a difference of opinion between the residents and our staff, who are experts in this, as to whether or not the ambient speed is going to increase. The staff thinks it will not. The residents think it will. I myself have no idea whether it's going to go up or go down. But I think that in a certain sense, that question is a little bit irrelevant, because the fact of the matter is, at the moment, the speeds, if we do nothing, the speeds are at the moment unacceptable, because I don't think we ought to be in the position of just shrugging our shoulders when we hear that a densely packed area has consistently speeds higher than the speed limits are actually consistent with what kind of neighborhood it is. So I think we have to take this very seriously. I think there are several things which I believe that we must do, and we must agree to do, is we have to get an accurate measurement of the speeds as a function of distance, as a function of what area before it's done and after it's done. And if we find out that what the neighbors say is correct, that the speed goes up, I think we must be committed to do something about it. I myself have thought of a couple of traffic calming measures, which I have discussed with the staff. And in particular, I think we could plant a lot more trees on that area. I think the heavy canopies of trees, in my own personal experience, are traffic calming measures. They make people think that they shouldn't be driving so fast. A vista of a wide open space tends to make you press down on the accelerator. I like the idea of rumble strips, longitudinal rumble strips on the spacing between the shoulder and the road, to announce you're off the road to a car that happens to be going in that direction. That will make it that will make people realize that the road is not as wide as they might think. I'm concerned that when we add that shoulder, even if we do paint it green, that it's going to look like a 15-foot travel lane instead of an 11-foot travel lane. And I think we have to take pains to do that. But I save the best to last. There's no traffic calming measure that I know that works better than tickets. And I think we can't just shrug our shoulders at this and say, well, nothing we can do about it. Sorry, there is something we could do about it. People don't speed on Hanshaw, on Triphammer Road, the way they speed on Hanshaw Road, because they know that they put on the line doesn't bother them, but they may get a big ticket of doing that, because Cayuga Heights does that with great frequency. And I think we really have to have some serious discussions with the Sheriff Department about the problem of excess speeding. Oh, there's another traffic calming measure that I think is quite effective, namely, which is a sign that says, you are now driving 60 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone. I've seen that sign several times going down Route 38 when you get into what's it called?
You were driving 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. But I tell you, I stop going 60 miles an hour as soon as I see that blinking sign. So I think there's a number of things we can do, and that it's really not enough to tell them that, well, we know the answers to all of this thing. We've done everything that can be done. It won't be so bad. I don't think that's the right approach. But I do think that committing ourselves to saying that the problem at the moment is not acceptable, and that we will try to make as big an effort as we can to, even before and after the rebuilding of the road, to return that road to the kind of traffic that it should have.
Not to prolong this, but we've had very similar issues in my district. I think that what I heard from staff is that they're certainly continue to be open to suggestions. This is just because of the eminent domain hearing, may be concluded doesn't mean this is that the design is set in stone, but that it is also frustrating to try to handle these issues. There are always trade-offs, you know. So, all right. Anything else? Julie, you have a couple of resolutions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Resolution D, authorizing an interfund loan from the General Fund to Airport Capital Project Fund to finance the design and construction of an expansion of the long-term parking lot at the airport. I move.
And moved in less than seconds. Any comments or questions? Frank.
Julie, I'd like to suggest a little change in the wording in the last resolve, if you don't mind. This is rather innocuous, but the at the end of the sentence where it says a three-year term at 3.5% interest and annual repayment of $49,228, just adding that this represents the principal and interest payment.
The $49,228. So if parenthetically after that it said principal plus interest, that would do it?
That would do it.
Thank you.
You bet.
So that friendly?
So, yes.
Leslie? Emily?
Yes.
Okay.
This, I believe, we got our second chance at this resolution because it had gone through budget and we hadn't seen Mr. Squire's wording, so that's why we met again today. This is one of the items on our... I forgot to say the F&I committee also met today. This was one of them. And I want to just mention one thing about it. In the fourth whereas where it says the consultant C&S companies have indicated this lot expansion will be good for the foreseeable future. Foreseeable future means about 5 years in this instance.
Kathy, Carol, then Will.
Thank you. At budget, we got a little background information on this about why it's being done this way, and I guess for the public's sake, it would be good if we would explain that and perhaps explain what's being done, if you wouldn't mind. I think it's important.
The airport has been successful in attracting passengers, not just locally, but also from some surrounding counties, because its prices are competitive and its schedule is desirable. So the long-term parking lot is getting dangerously full, and we don't want to turn people away for that reason. So the plan is to, which will come up in the next resolution, to increase the number of spaces by removing some trees along the edge and internally in the lot, and to restripe the lot, and that will add about 65 spaces.
Julie, this is in our folders, right?
There's a diagram in the folders which does not represent the current restriping. It represents the existing lot and which trees will be gone. The airport does not have sufficient money in its budget. It has enough money in its budget to cover this if it didn't have cash flow concerns. So it can't directly pay for this itself and needs to borrow money from our general fund, which will be repaid. And that's the repayment Frank was mentioning. Is that what you meant, Kathy?
Excellent summary. The last piece that I thought people would be interested in knowing is ultimately, this comes from airport funding, and unless there's a cost overrun, in which case we would be notified, this will not be. It's not on the general fund, except that the financing is being utilized over 3 years because of cash flow issues.
That's right, and the general fund will be repaid by the additional parking revenues from the expanded number of spaces, but it will take a period of time to do that repayment.
Carol?
Yeah. I think this is great that they're doing this. I have had people just recently, friends and acquaintances, tell me that they went to fly from the Tompkins County Airport and were happy to be doing so, but that they drove around the parking lot and could not find a spot, and that there were cars parked literally along the sides with no place to go. So I'm glad we're doing it. I have two questions. One is about sort of what we're giving up. Are we just squeezing in more spots, or is there something we're giving up in order to put these in? And the do you want to answer that first?
Well, we're giving up trees. I think I said
trees.
That.
Okay. I have a question about the interest rate. And I know David Squires is not here tonight, but I'd like to just get an idea. And I know that about this interest rate, is that about our cost of money? I know it's a more complicated question than that. It depends on the rest of the size of our funds and what we're spending and our budget needs. But is this a rate of interest that about breaks even for us, that gives them a break, that makes money?
I think Jim has the answer to that.
Well, and both of us, Joe, we make money on this at 3.5. They can't go outside to get the money, and we're basically offering them a service for 3.5%.
Do you want to add anything, Joe?
I think that's basically it. If we did go out and borrow the money, and we borrowed it over 5 to 10 years, this would be about the rate of interest that we would expect to pay on a 5 to 10 year debt issue. So it's basically in line with market rates of interest for public debt.
And at the F&I committee meeting, I actually expressed my unhappiness with the 3.5% interest rate, because I think that the county is making money off of this loan, but it passed budget with that, and David was not at our meeting, and he's not here tonight, so we didn't do anything about it at F&I.
I will, and then Jim, and then Mike.
Thank you, Martha. And thank you for including this diagram, which shows the trees that were removed, which according to this would be 25, 12 in lot 13 areas extended. That's a lot, folk. And I am very, very concerned about the changing the overall aesthetic character of what is presently a wonderfully beautiful gateway to our community. So I hope as the committee considers this, they will take a really good look at whether the number of the trees that we're going to remove are really going to alter the character of that.
Jim.
I passed.
Okay, Mike.
I just say on the interest that the general fund is providing the administrative services for this loan, and receiving payment from the airport fund to the administrative fund by interest from funds that are generated through parking revenues, I think is appropriate here, even at 3.5%.
Okay, ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution D? Short roll call, please.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded? No. Will, is one opposed. That is 14-1, it carries. All right, next one, Dula.
Resolution E, revised. Authorizing a consultant agreement with CNS companies to design and inspect an expansion in the long-term parking lot at the Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. I move it.
Less than seconds.
The revised version of the resolution indicates the committee's concern about the removal of trees and our recognition that it doesn't seem in keeping with the Green Master Plan approach to the airport. And we've asked Mr. Nicholas to ask CNS consultants to come back with a way to replace somewhere on the property the loss of trees, including what you said, Will, we care about how the lot looks. And Bob said that is absolutely agreeable, and he will bring F&I representative back probably to our next committee meeting with more information about how this lot will actually look and where additional trees could be planted on the property for our okay before they go out to bid.
Frank?
Dooley, I have two revised resolutions. One has revised, and one has revised the committee. Is it the revised the committee that you're moving?
It has two whereases underlined in it.
It'd be just as easy to tell me what it's only one word at the very top.
Well, it's probably in here in my folder. It's revised. Document 2024B.
It's revised the committee is the one that we're doing, right?
Oh, I didn't have that. Does everybody have that one?
They're the same. Did you get your answer, Frank?
I'm sorry.
It's the one at committee.
Thank you. That's all I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one that's at committee.
Thank you. And Bob has agreed that he's going to work to accommodate the question of trees.
Pardon?
Bob Nicholas has agreed that he's going to work on the accommodation regarding the trees, if he can.
Yes, we expect that to happen. Yes.
When we designed the airport and the terminal, it was with that in mind, that as the chairman of that committee some time ago, that was one of the considerations, major considerations, with that long-term parking lot. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So if you can, that would be great.
Mike?
Bob Nicholas, the airport manager, was at the meeting, and I specifically asked him if he was all right with these changes, and he said he was.
He was. Thanks, Mike.
He drafted them.
Okay. All right. Are we ready to vote? Will.
Question. So this resolution authorizes an agreement to design. Will this body then have a final vote to okay construction? Or does this vote essentially empower the airport to act on its own?
Usually the return to committee, I think, would be all that's necessary. If you want this to come back to the legislature, I suppose that can happen. I'm looking for help.
Or at least a report, I suppose.
Well, a report would certainly come back. But
Jonathan, do you have a sense of whether it be required?
No, it goes back to committee. Right. On some occasions, committees have asked that something go to the full legislature, but okay. The rule is that it goes back to committee.
Yeah.
Pam?
Well, at the F&I meeting, Bob talked about the trees, because that was something I raised. I was very concerned about it, and asked him about what trees they were taking out. And the trees that are the row that face the airport itself. So when you walk out the airport door out onto the driveway, that row of trees there will be untouched. So they're the areas that they are taking them out are in some of the other areas.
Right.
Pam, if you're looking at this map.
Uh-huh.
You're talking of the row of trees that you're talking about would be the ones at the sort of the bottom diagonal left of that diagram, right? I mean, everything marked in pink is what's going to be lost.
Now, isn't the airport at the upper right?
No, it's got to be the
Commerce.
I would think I think Warren Road is out here on the left-hand side of the diagram, and the interior road is at the bottom of the diagram. Then you turn left, I think.
Brown Road is at the bottom.
Brown Road is at the
bottom.
Brown
Road is at the bottom.
Is there enough room where this piece of the diagram is described? Is there enough room for the expansion to take place down in this area and then trees added to screen?
I mean,
that's the kind of design detail that I can't answer, but I am sure that with our concern about trees, when Bob goes back to CNS, they will look for that. If you want me to specifically ask that question?
Yeah, I would. I think it's important that we keep the integrity of the of what the intention was here.
I think we can certainly have Bob come back and describe this to the whole board if we would like that. you need to, Carol?
Yeah. I just want to point out that I like trees. I am so thrilled to be able to fly out of Ithaca, out of our beautiful airport, and not have to drive all the way up to Syracuse, where I can park in a much bigger parking lot, and that I can park close enough when I need to go places and in the times I can afford to go anywhere on an airplane, right there, so much closer than one normally has to do at an airport. And I really do hope that 10 years from now, as the changes take place in the airline industry, that we still have this problem of not enough space in our airport for the cars that are using it. So I do support this.
I would point out that
to have.
TCAT goes to the airport. You can take a bus. Are we ready to vote? I'm serious. My husband takes a bus from the campus. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of the revised resolution, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. All set, Dooley?
Yes.
Thank you.
Give your voice a rest.
Capital Plan Review Committee met on June 10th, and we had mostly Ed had a lot to say. He reviewed what he anticipates for the 2011 capital program, and mostly a continuation of things that are underway in terms of highway facilities. There were a couple of areas where, and he will bring back specific proposals at the next meeting. We did discuss at some length the idea of putting together a capital project for deferred maintenance. And this is an idea that Dooley brought up some time ago. And there's just a lot of work that hasn't been done. We haven't been able to keep up with deferred maintenance. And it looks like it would be appropriate to do one of those catch-up programs like we did with Highway a few years ago. So the idea being that not everyday kinds of things, but for example, there's a number of buildings that need carpet replacements. So it might be the sort of thing we could actually get a better price if we can do all the carpets at once and get those done, get those taken care of. They're not life and safety kind of issues, so they've been put off as the budgets have been squeezed. So we expect to see some more detail on that at our next meeting. We also talked about the Center of Government building and maintenance issues at the old library. And Ed brought back to our attention the Community Justice Center building. Last year there had been a PAR form developed, I think it was last year, a replacement space for the Community Justice Center. That's the main facility that we are now using the old library for. And if that building is, as the staff is seeing increasingly, not long for this world, that we need to start planning for an alternative space for the Community Justice Center. So looking at building not large but a small building in an appropriate location, the local share would be in the neighborhood of $3.6 million. This is a project that we looked at last year, so they brought that the PAR form back to us for discussion. So that's something that we're not going to be looking at actually doing next year, but certainly there might be some attention paid to the Public Safety Committee and facilities, I'm sure, as well. We also talked about the computer-aided dispatch project that's been discussed at Public Safety. That's something that actually Greg Potter is hoping we can do this year, so it's not even a 2011 project. Finally, the discussion that we had relates to Gary Ferguson's presentation today, the discussion that we'd had at a previous meeting about how the city and county might share a space. Joe will report on that at next meeting, sort of his initial look at what kind of process we ought to go through, what kind of decision making, what kind of benefits and costs there might be to that kind of a project. So that's my report. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Government Operations, Mike Lane, Chair.
We had a very brief meeting before this one for an appointment which was on the consent agenda, and we meet again. Our regular meeting will be this Thursday at 9:30.
Okay. Thank you. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Pam McAsee, Chair.
I yield to Carol Chalk, who chaired the meeting in my absence last night.
Yes. And Pam left us with a rich and long agenda, and I'm pleased to say that we got through a lot of it in only 8 minutes late.
Very good.
Okay. But we saved some of it for you for this month. We had a presentation by Steve Penningroth of the Community Science Institute of the Cayuga Inlet Monitoring Program. They are in the second year of 3-year monitoring project that the county helped support. They monitor a variety of streams in our community, and specifically the county's funding was for monitoring of the Cayuga Inlet. And so he's gave us some of the preliminary taste of the results. He has an astounding amount of data on the what is coming down from our streams, chemicals and substances, in particular the amount of phosphorus, and he showed us data and a website that they have developed where it's communityscience.org that we can all go and look ourselves in very useful ways and search through that those charts in interesting ways, and I encourage you to go and look at that. It's not a final report. Under privilege of the floor at PDEC, we had a presentation by a gentleman named Don Hassig. It was a remote presentation. He had a family emergency and could only meet with us by phone. He is from a group, Cancer Action. Their concern is with the presence of dioxins and other carcinogenic persistent organic pollutants in our food supply, and the ways in which citizens are unaware of the presence of things like polybromated diphenyl ethers and other things like that. And he would like the legislature to call upon state and federal level officials to help educate people. And while we think it's something that we need to be aware of and hope that he continues to educate us on, we suggested that he needs to build more of a base, and particularly locally. He's from Canton, New York, and that he continue to provide information. The Strategic Tourism Planning Board just gave us sort of an introduction to their budget, and no action on that. I will say that if that is a taste of more program-based budgeting, Joe worked with them, and we, from what we've seen of the budget so far, that taste has given us a sense of the ways in which this new process will give us some more information about what's being spent on various programs. I will, the planning department, the commissioner's report, I will say Ed gave us an announcement about the meeting that was held last night. He held a public meeting to start to present to the community and discuss the county's development focus area strategy and get input from other people in the community with thoughts about nodal development, what we mean by that, how it impacts them. It was a good attendance. Over 40 people, 40, 50 people came to that meeting. It was a good introductory discussion. What is a node? What does urbanized mean? How fast does time go by? What's the planning horizon for this? The tools available. ways that we can plan together as municipalities and county, but that land use decisions are made independently by towns and by the private sector. What's in the blank space in our maps when we present the county? What surrounds us? The sectors, the players, the forces, and coming out of it, it would be very interesting at some point to have a discussion, a longer discussion at PDEC and maybe at the legislature here about the ways in which they're presenting that to the community and encouraging further discussion. Some specific ideas coming out of that was to create a listserv for planning people from various towns, and people were glad to do that, and so watch for that. People can get on it if they're interested. There are two resolutions. The first one is F. F.
Yes,
sir. Yes.
For a comment, sure. Before you do the resolution. Carol, you mentioned the format for the Strategic Tourism Planning Board's budget. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, if those of us that have been on that committee for some time and reviewing those budgets since time began, since Jim Dennis was a child, I think it's important to recognize that Joe took it on this year and really put it in a very readable format. And I really want to thank you, because it really made it easier for us to ask questions. So it
won't
really
make that mistake again.
No, so now you'll change it back, right? But it really did. If any of you that are not on planning, Carol is absolutely right. It was quite a discussion, and thanks for taking the time to spread that the way you did. Sorry to interrupt you, Carol.
Okay, resolution F.
Okay. And Pam, do you want me to continue here?
Go
you
for
have
it.
The red line, so if there are changes.
You should. Well, I'd be happy I to.
Okay.
Give
I will introduce resolution F, authorizing a continuation of the grant agreement between Tompkins County and Tompkins County Area Development, Inc. for the Tompkins County Area Development Countywide Loan Fund. And I so move.
Is there a second? Pat. Any questions? Ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand.
You know what? Can I just... I'm sorry. Is it too late to...
Well, people are voting.
This with a...
Yeah, I think it's okay. Too late. All in favor, hands are up. Okay. Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Resolution G, and there's a revised, right?
Okay, G, there is a revised in your packet. And on this one, there was a lot of discussion and a lot of some introduction, but I will move the revised version with this one. I will move with one additional, very minor revision. And then I will explain both the resolution itself after it's on the floor and the revisions. This is resolution G, requesting determination of the potential role of soil and water conservation districts in providing technical assistance to serve local agricultural and public interests during potential development of natural gas production in New York State watersheds. And I so move.
Is there a second? Dooley seconds.
And the additional revision that I will give you, am I doing this in the right order? In the seventh, whereas, which is the one in bold, the word since just needs to be moved to right after the comma.
What line are you in?
Okay, it will read the third line. Since there is a potential were they to receive payments or contributions from the gas industry that could constitute the appearance of a conflict of interest.
Since there is a potential.
So this was a typo.
Were they to receive payments, right?
Right.
Okay.
And in the ninth whereas, the word falls should be just fall.
these basins fall. Okay? Are there any questions on the resolution? Frank?
Well, can I introduce it?
I think people have seen it, so let's see if there are any questions. Frank?
The revised one. Carol, you need to explain to me why in the title you're taking out Upper Susquehanna Coalition.
Okay. I'd like to step back and give just a little bit of the background to this and the concerns that the committee had that led to this. This was a resolution that PDEC worked on over two of our meetings. It came to us originally from the Susquehanna Coalition with a standard wording. Soil and water districts in the Susquehanna Basin realized the amount of work that natural gas production could potentially bring to their offices. And because they are professionals in their field, because they are a natural office that the gas companies will come to, they had the foresight to think, oh, not only will the gas companies come to us, but it will be in the public interest to make sure that if this happens, and when this happens, that they have the correct information that will lead to pad siting, items like pad siting, wetland location and routing, pipeline routing, soil conditions, avoiding erosion and sediment control, and things like that. And that this is going to take, as they have found in Bradford County and some other areas, many, many, many hours of their work, and they'd like to know how they'll be compensated for that. So they came, and they'd like to New York State to be thinking about how they'll be compensated. When this came to Tompkins County, rather than just pass it the way they had it, we had two major concerns. One was we realized that we are not only in the Susquehanna Basin, we're in the Great Lakes Basin as well, and that this concern is relevant to soil and water districts there. And since then, we have found that there are other shales, so that all of the watersheds around New York State will ultimately could be affected by this. So this doesn't just relate to Susquehanna, but that they will, whatever mechanism is worked out for New York State, for soil and water conservation districts need to apply across the state. The second concern...
Well, can we stay on the first one?
I'd like to lay it out.
That was his question. Why don't you... do you have something else, Frank, about that?
Yeah, on removing that, I'd like to suggest that we put that back in the title, and it's because the resolved includes the reference to the Upper Susquehanna Coalition and its member organizations, specifically because there is no organization like this that's doing the same thing in an organized way. While we are in the Great Lakes Basin, it's unfortunate that we don't have a similar organization doing that. And I think to just cover our flanks, we ought to leave that in the title. It's certainly in the resolve. That's my suggestion, to leave that in. And then when you come to the resolve that you've changed or suggested changing in the heavy print, I have a couple of questions there, but that's my... And at the appropriate time, I'll move to restore that in the title.
I think it'll help to lay out, because a lot of work happened...
Okay, quickly, please.
After our first meeting with Pam and Craig sat down with all of the concerns from our first meeting.
Yeah, and it resulted... And Carol, excuse me for interrupting you, but you're absolutely right, and it resulted in the resolution that was originally in our packet. Now, the resolution that is presented to us tonight is revised, has been altered since the committee meeting. It did not include a discussion among the committee members. It included a discussion among certain committee members, which may have been discussed with Craig, and I would appreciate it if you could highlight how those discussions went.
Yeah, I think if I lay out how this happened, that it will help. There was another concern. In any case, for all of these concerns, Dooley, Pam, and I worked with Craig at various points over the last 2 months, up through and including 4 o'clock this afternoon, with both the original concerns, which were, one, how do we cover all of the water basins, and do we do that with starting to add water basins to the title and the resolve, and that is one method, and we had that at one point in a draft. And the second concern, which is what is the mechanism by which the soil and water districts will receive, could potentially receive payment. And that, I think, is a bigger concern. If it's the pleasure of the whole group, we can start adding names of water basins.
Great
Lakes,
I don't
and
think so.
We can go on. It's Craig seemed to be happy this afternoon and actually felt that strengthened the case that soil and water districts across the state, and that the part of his work that happens in the Great Lakes Basin is covered by this new title.
Okay, Jim has his hand up, then Pam.
I will let Pam go first. Okay. She is the chair.
I would just make a simple suggestion in terms of the title here. Is that requesting determination of the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition and its and other soil and water conservation districts, because that would include their water. It would include their name, but it would also include all the soil and water conservation districts that we want to include.
Well. Upper Susquehanna, that is not a soil and water conservation district, right?
No, I know. I'm not saying
okay.
that it is.
Okay.
I'm saying the change is that we say requesting determination of the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition and its soil and water conservation districts, its and other soil and water conservation districts.
I see what you're saying.
Pam, I would consider it more friendly, and I think Craig would as well from my conversations with him today, if it were to read the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, the Great Lakes River Basin District, and other relevant soil and water conservation districts.
And then it would go on to say providing technical assistance, sir?
Yep.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, that would restore it. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. If that's fine with other people, that doesn't quite make sense to me, but I don't want a wordsmith on the floor. So that was my simple, but if that language works, then let's just do that.
Read it again, Carol.
Okay. So it would then read, let's see, requesting determination of the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, the Great Lakes Basin, and member soil and water basin?
Yeah, they're right.
And other relevant, requesting determination of the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, the Great Lakes Basin.
Commission. It's commission, right?
Yes. It's not other, because none of those are soil and water conservation groups.
This title, as it read originally, is how it came
right,
to
Carol,
us.
I'm going to let Dooley take a shot.
I'm not on PDEQ. I just read the resolution. And as I'm looking at the first resolve in the resolution, what is being asked is that our legislature requests that the Upper Susquehanna Coalition explore. So our request is specifically what Frank said. It was to the Upper Susquehanna Coalition. So I think restoring that, but then doing what Pam added, is probably the best middle ground, since we're not specifically asking the Great Lakes member counties to weigh in.
And there's no formal group, unfortunately, like there is with the Upper Susquehanna.
Okay, so we have the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition, the Great Lakes Basin Commission, and Soil and Water Conservation Districts.
No.
No, I think, excuse me, Ben.
Frank?
I think Dooley's suggesting dropping the reference to the title to the Great Lakes.
I'm worried about the title having to agree with the first resolve. And at the moment, the first resolve only addresses our request to the Upper Susquehanna Basin Coalition. I think what Pam added about other soil and water conservation districts covers the Great Lakes. And so I think that that's the best middle ground at this point.
Mike and then Peter.
We spent quite a long time here just debating the title of this resolution. If there's a question to be called, I'd like to call it.
The question's been called. Is there a second?
Not on the resolution.
On what?
On
there
change?
Are motions here.
The motion has the resolution has been moved and seconded.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, Carol moved it and Pat seconded or Dooley.
Are you calling the question on the title or the?
Excuse me. If you need to speak, raise your hand. There's a motion on the floor. The resolution is on the floor. It's been moved and seconded. Mike calls the question. Is there a second to that?
Yeah.
Jim seconds that. Is there no debate?
Can somebody read it?
Yeah. The resolution, resolution. We're going to close debate on if we pass this. Is what was in your packet, requesting determination of the potential role of the upper of the members. Requesting determination of the potential role of the soil and water conservation districts in providing technical assistance to serve local agricultural and public interest during potential development of natural gas production in New York State watersheds. That's what's on the floor. Nothing else has been moved or amended, et cetera. The question now before you is whether to close debate. Raise your hand if you're ready to close debate. Is calling the question. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That fails 5 to 10. So debate is open. Is there a motion to amend something? Peter was next, then Dave, Pam, and Dooley.
I'd like to make a motion to send this back to the committee rather than debating it here.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to send this back to committee. That's what's in front of us now. I regret to say this should have been able to be resolved. So, Carol?
Yeah. Tompkins, in order to actually help the Susquehanna Coalition with its attempt to raise this question with the state, they asked us to do this several months ago. So if we're trying to help them out here...
Frank?
Putting it off isn't going to help.
Peter, with all due respect, Resolution G, as it was in your packet originally, not the revised one, had been reviewed by, had come out of the committee after 2 months and several discussions. So I agree with what you said. The committee has met on this, and it went back to Craig Scott at Soil Water for discussion. And what you had in front of you with the packet, the Resolution G, was the one that, after a lot of work, had come out of the committee. The revised one that was given to us tonight, that revised one, has, from what I heard Carol say, has only been worked on by one or two or three people, one of whom isn't even on the committee. And that's what's causing some of the confusion. And I, rather than send this all the way back to the committee again, I'm hoping that someone at the appropriate time will permit us to move the original version that the five committee members agreed on. I think there were five. And that was the Resolution G that you received earlier.
Frank, at the risk of something, I'm going to step out a little bit out here. You raised the idea of changing the title in some way. Now it might be a good time. If you have a motion to make to amend the title, maybe we can deal with that one.
Point of order. I would like to move that we...
I have a point of order.
Point of order, Pat.
By our rules, is it okay to move a resolution on the floor that hasn't come from the committee? like this? I mean, just to...
No, the basic resolution has been through committee.
But the language on that was moved, I don't think, has that.
Point of order?
Yes, it's acceptable.
I believe my motion to send it back to committee is on the floor, and it should be the only thing debated and voted on. So let's...
Yes, that's right.
Was that even seconded, Madam Chair?
Yes, Dave seconded. I'm sorry, you're right, Peter. So the question is, before us is whether to send this back to committee. So I guess in furthering this, if somebody has a quick way to resolve the title, perhaps we can deal with it on the floor. I don't want to hear that now because we have to, you know, we have to vote on this send back to committee motion.
Isn't that debatable?
Yes.
That's debatable. Dooley and then Carol.
Well, I sympathize with Carol's comment that it's been to committee, and Frank knows it's been to committee more than once. I've not been to committee. I would like to amend Peter's motion to substitute the revised motion that Carol put on the floor.
That's not a legal.
In place of, it's a Second Amendment. You can amend once, twice, right?
Peter's motion is not an amendment of this.
It's to send it back to committee.
Right.
And before considering that, I would like consideration of an amendment that achieves a different end. That's what
I'm going to ask Jonathan.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't think that's in order. I mean, okay. You could amend the resolution, but you can't amend the resolution to send something back to committee.
Then
if you've got to deal with that, vote on it, don't want to send it back to committee, then make an amendment.
Okay, yeah. I will just speak to that. I think it would be a pity to send it back to committee and make it take another month.
Thank you.
So I hope that we can amend what's on the floor to accommodate the different committee members' concerns.
Carol?
Yeah. I think that we can resolve this title question fairly quickly if we get to it. Craig worked with us with the utmost of patience, professionalism, integrity to come to something on this. So, and I really, he's asking us to pass this. I really hope that we can do it tonight. And I would be happy to make another stab at a compromise should you all keep this on the floor. That I think we can resolve fairly quickly.
All right, I have a confession to make. I thought we could have ended the meeting by 8, so that's why I didn't take a break at 7:30. But I will oppose the motion to send this back to committee with an abundance of faith that we have a solution very easy at hand to get this done. Is there any other discussion on whether to send this back to committee? All right, ready to vote. All in favor of sending it back to committee, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That fails 5 to 10. I really want to entertain solutions.
Okay, yeah.
Who's got a solution?
I will take as friendly Frank's.
Okay, Carol.
I will take as friendly Frank's intention to put title back, and I'll take another stab. Requesting determination of the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition and other relevant soil and water conservation districts.
I can relate.
Is there a second? That's an amendment. Is there a second for that? Susquehanna Coalition and other relevant soil and water conservation districts. Is there a second? Dooley seconds. Frank, does that meet what you'd like?
I think we ought to have... No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. Well, that's on the floor. That's what to discuss. Is there an amendment to that amendment? That somebody else has a solution? Frank?
Yeah, I would like to move that we substitute... This is an amendment to the amendment. That we substitute the original wording that was in the original resolution in the title, for the title. That's the beginning with the word requesting and ending with the word region. It's a 5-line title.
Just to be clear, so you're not changing the resolution, you just want to go back to the original title.
Well, we're only talking about the title right
okay.
now.
Okay, right? Is there a second to go back to the original title? Pat, is second that. Okay, so that is what's in front of us. Dooley?
I think that since the body of the resolution down around line 29 references the Great Lakes Basin, it's probably the better part of valor not to have at the end of that title in the Upper Susquehanna region, because later on in the resolution the Great Lakes Basin is mentioned. And rather than add the Great Lakes Basin to the title, I'd rather take out the reference to the Upper Susquehanna at the end of the title, but leave it in at the beginning where you wanted it to start with. That would be my suggestion.
Okay. I would go along with that.
Yeah.
That would, assuming that the wording in the original resolution in the whereas you're just describing stays as it is.
So what you said is friendly to Frank. Now say it, is it friendly to Pat? Yes.
Okay.
Now tell us all what it is.
You're just dropping the last three words, natural gas production, period. And then dropping in the Upper Susquehanna region at the end of the title.
Are you leaving in New York State watersheds?
Could you read?
No, you're not in the title.
No.
Go to the title.
To the original one.
Dooley, what is it you've just proposed?
What Frank just said.
Somebody read it, please.
I'll read it. Requesting determination of the potential role of the Upper Susquehanna Coalition and its member soil and water conservation districts in providing technical assistance to serve local agricultural and public interests during potential development of natural gas production. Period.
That is what's before us.
Right.
Any discussion on that? Ready to vote on that amendment to the resolution? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay. What? Okay. All right. That amendment was accepted. Now we need to vote on that as the main motion. Okay. All right. This is the main motion. All in favor of...
Are we looking at the original or the revised?
No, this is now the revised. This is now what we're... This is now the main motion.
Frank's motion was amendment to Dooley's amendment. Now, Frank's...
To the revised
original, or the main motion, a second vote needs to be taken.
And this is to accept it?
$100.
Yes.
Okay.
The title.
Just the title.
The title.
All right. All in favor of accepting the change to the title, please raise your hand. Opposed? All of that's unanimous. Okay. So now we know what this resolution is called.
Thank
is there any comment, any discussion of the resolution? Kathy?
Somebody has to tell me what the content of the resolution is that's under discussion right now, because I heard suggestions for changes and whereas. I heard a suggestion that we were reverting to the original resolution that went through committee. I just need a recap.
It is my understanding that we are looking at the revised resolution with just the change where we took out the last nine words of the title. Carol? What, Kathy?
Well, the revised resolution had some changes, like the insertion of the word since and blocking out the word since. I just need to know what it is we're looking at. This is the one with the bolded whereases and the marks out and the last resolve, with the change of the word since.
My understanding
is
the word since was moved. Since there is a potential were they to receive payments, and the word falls becomes fall.
Now I know what we're talking about.
Kathy, Carol.
Yes. The Dooley's revised wording provided further explanation of our resolved.
Carol, I'm pretty sure this is going to be unanimously approved, so is there anything new we need to know? I hate to do
this. Well, I just want to point out that the whereas was added to explain the concern that the soil and water districts be compensated and that they be compensated in certain ways.
Understood. We can read it. Okay. Will, did you have your hand up?
I was going to vote a question.
Well, maybe we're ready to do that anyway. All in? Ready to vote? All in favor of the revised resolution, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yes. I just want to thank everybody who was involved in this.
Okay.
It was a lot of work.
Pam, do you have a report for the Census Committee?
Let's see. The census is still going on, but it's winding down. The landlords are... the landlord... last landlord groups are adding the information that they are being required to add. But it's pretty much done by now. So that's
good. And 100 people just moved out of the county who were watching this meeting.
All right. Thank you very much, Pam.
That's the highest estimate I've ever heard.
We have Resolution J that has been added. All right. I'm sorry, guys. We haven't done yet. Resolution J has been added to the agenda. That would be Frank's, right?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Resolution J request regarding delays in release of quarterly statewide mass transit operating assistance payments from the state of New York, and I'd like to move that.
Kathy seconds. Any discussion?
Quick explanation?
Probably not, Frank. We can read.
Can you read it?
For the public, Frank, really fast.
All right, really quick. The state transit money that helps support TCAT, it's about 36% of its budget. $4 million. It hasn't been, the individual payments have not been received, and it's affecting all of the upstate transit systems. The concern here is that if we don't get the money, we have to start thinking about route changes, and we want to encourage the legislature to move the legislation along and pass a budget so that we can get our share. David Squires, remember you folks have all passed a resolution earlier this year that permitted the county to front the money based on STOA coming in. There's no way that the county is in a financial position to front this amount of money. Appreciate your support as chairman of TCAT.
Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And thank
That's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank Joe for doing this one.
Thanks, Joe. We have a motion on the minutes from the June 1st meeting of the legislature. Frank moves. Leslin seconds. Are there any comments or additions? Kathy, Dooley, Peter.
Thank you. I have a change on page 12 of your packet. The last paragraph on the page, beginning with Ms. Herrera asked, I'd like to insert a comma, and this phrase, in the context of the sweat-free apparel decision.
In the context of?
The sweat-free apparel decision. Mr. Zumoff referred to it earlier in his statement. And later in that sentence, near the end of the sentence, the word city, I would like to change that to the possessive form cities, so apostrophe S, and then...
Wait, you lost me on that one.
Okay, the word city, I'm going to make it cities, like C-I-T-Y apostrophe S, belonging to the city.
Possessive. Is that on the end of the third line there?
No, it's that first line.
Oh, the city's committing to hiring a apprentice?
Yeah, but... Okay. But after that, instead of the whole rest of that sentence, I'm just going to say skilled trades apprentice policy, period.
Okay.
And I think that is consistent with what I was trying to say, and I hope that my colleagues will find that a non-substantive change. But in the context of previous remarks I made, I thought it was appropriate to bring it to the legislature.
Would you mind just reading what you wanted to say?
Yes. Ms. Herrera asked, in the context of the sweat-free apparel decision, for an update on language under discussion with regard to the city's skilled trades apprentice policy, period.
Okay. Kathy, you have that?
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Dooley?
Well,
I'm sorry, did I say Peter or Dooley before?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, on page 3 of the minutes, there was a presentation on
on records management.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall that I asked a question about the what resistance there was to electronic tampering, and was assured that by Mr. Potter. Mr. Potter noted that there is no external access to this site.
Okay, do you have a specific sentence or phrase?
Yeah, Mr. Stein asked about resistance to electronic tampering, and Mr. Potter noted that there is no external access to the site.
Okay, do you have that typed out or written for Kathy?
Yeah, I'll bring it up.
Thank you. Dooley?
Yes, there are several items in the minutes that I would like to address. I recall the county administrator clarifying the role of the sheriff in negotiations. That would be on page 24 of the packet. In the discussion of the resolution establishing salaries for the position of sheriff. So, what I've written down here to be inserted after the second paragraph would be County Administrator Mariana offered to clarify the sheriff's role in negotiations. The sheriff participates in negotiations for corrections and road patrol. They are represented by different unions than is management, our management employees, who are CSEA members. So there is no conflict. That's my recollection of what Joe said, and I thought it was an important point to have, and so I would like to add that if Joe thinks I've characterized it correctly.
That's a nod, right?
That's a nod. That's a fair paraphrasing of what I said, yes.
Okay, and so you can give that to Kathy.
I can. Okay.
All right.
Similarly, back in the records management section of the minutes, which we were just looking at and which I can't find at the moment.
Packet page 14.
That Peter had mentioned. Packet page 14. There were a number of questions and answers that followed the presentation, and they included, in my view, important facts which I would like to see reflected in the minutes. One of them, Mr. Potter's participation in the presentation was very small in the amount that was reported in the minutes. And what is in the minutes says Mr. Potter explained the auditing and security process that occurs with digital records. I remember him saying a lot more, and I emailed him the section that was in the minutes and asked if my recollection of the additional information were correct, and this is what I wrote. Mr. Potter said that the LaserFiche software that had been deployed by Tompkins County includes security technology and standards that meet the requirements established by the Federal Department of Defense. He said that now and in the future, all county software RFPs will include standard language requiring interface capability with LaserFiche. And I thought those were important pieces of information. He said that that was correct characterization of what he said, and so I would like to move that that gets inserted also.
So if that's friendly, any objection to that? Okay.
I have two other small items in the same section which may or may not be friendly. I don't know. Mr. Burbank asked if the county was going to retain hard copies somewhere because he expressed interest in there being redundancy in case of an electromagnetic event. I remember that wording because it was very dramatic, I thought. And the response that I remembered was that Ms. Reynolds noted certain original documents are kept and that birth and death certificates are in an old coal mine in Pennsylvania. And so that seemed like important information to me, and I didn't get a chance to run that by Will. That is what you said.
Yes.
So I would like that to be added to the minutes. And I have a last one, and this is it. It's the same part of the discussion about records management. And this is Mr. Lane, who noted that DSS is reputed to have the most records that need to be retained. And Ms. Reynolds said that they haven't gotten to DSS yet. The largest they've worked on with, the largest that they've worked with so far is the district attorney's records. And I thought that that was a useful addition because although the clerk hopes that the county will be the first county clerk office in the state to become digitized, it isn't there yet. We're expecting to be there, and that underlines how close we are.
Is that okay with you, Mike?
Yes, but I'd just like to say that our minutes don't have to be verbatim.
No.
Is there any objection to including that? Is there anything else on the minutes? All in favor of the minutes as amended, please raise your hand. Any opposed? One opposed. That would be 13-1. I would like to entertain a motion to go into a brief executive session for real estate negotiations and personnel. Sorry, guys.
Move it.
Brian moves. Frank seconds. All in favor, executive session, raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, executive session at 7:30. No. 8:39. That was wishful thinking. We do not expect to take any action following executive session. Please come back and sit down by 8:45. Thank you. You got to turn off the cameras.